This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome, 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 welcome into BetQLU, a very special edition of BetQLU, as one of us has the privilege of being at the center of the sports universe this week in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl. That's my man, RJ Choppy. He's in Vegas. Is this Mandalay Bay? Are you at Mandalay Bay right now?
Yes, sir. Mandalay Bay all week. All week we've been here. I just moved in here. This is my new setup. I'm going to be here for the remaining time that we do this show. I'm going to be here every week doing the show right from here. I don't see myself leaving. I don't see myself moving. I just don't. This is amazing out here, yeah. Radio Row and the Super Bowl all week.
No, and you look amazing with the snazzy technology and the cameras and the what is it like? Just lighting, is that the difference right now? You must have amazing lighting.
It's great lighting. It's not me. I look pretty hideous. I mean, you see the bags under my eyes. My radio show that I normally do on 105 Through the Fan in Dallas, it's 5:30 to 10 Central Time. We are Pacific Time. It is 3:30 to 8 a.m. I'm up at 2:30 every morning.
Unreal. Unreal. You're soldiering through.
140 minute nap all week.
But you know, you go to bed later, right? I mean, it's a trade off, right? I mean, it's like, you know, like 9:30 out there is like, you know, it's late, but it's not. So I don't know. It all kind of comes out in the wash. You know, look, we got a lot to get to on the show today. College basketball, obviously. RJ's been out in Vegas all week long, just absolutely smashing every sports book in sight with the sharpest bets you can imagine. And we'll get to one of those here in just a moment. We'll obviously update you on the college football slate this weekend, get into that as we always do. And then maybe if we have some time, a little football discussion, as there have been some interesting developments in the world of college football. But RJ, man, you are there in Vegas. I mean, how's it been? How's this, you know, first Super Bowl there in Vegas? Has it been a crazy scene?
Yes, it's great, man. Like this, I heard this is the most media credentials they've ever given out for like a radio row at the Super Bowl. There's like 180 different stations, if you want to call them that, podcasts at the convention center. And for the first time, I mean, less than a third of them are radio stations. I mean, there's mostly just podcasters and publications of any kind, TV stations, whatever. It is a completely different ballgame. But dude, it is nuts. The strip's crazy. All the books can feel it. Like they're much. This book. Yeah. This is the first time I've been in this one this week, but you can feel the energy here today, especially the first day, Tuesday, Wednesday. Meh. You get a Thursday of Super Bowl week, and everyone's in town. The Rock is here today. The Rock was here.
Yes, he is.
Walking around.
Yes.
All the athletes are here, man. Like, it's cool.
I went to the – I actually watched the Super Bowl last year from Allegiant as part of a unique situation, and it was unbelievable. I mean, it was just amazing. So to actually think about the game – you know, playing out there. I mean, it's a beautiful stadium, man. It is going to be a scene. Have you, by the way, real quick before we get into college basketball, have you made a bet yet for the Super Bowl? Have you put anything in?
I've not. Wow. I've got an idea, a few bets. I'm gonna go today. I've been trying to make a little bit more of a bankroll here, man. And I've done well. I've done well for myself this week.
Okay.
Outside of one time. I've done the craps table's been very nice to me. The blackjack table.
Good for you.
Sportsbooks, but not
good for you.
Except for one thing. And we will talk about that. But no, I am going to make all my Super Bowl bets tonight.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we should talk a little bit at least about the, you know, because sometimes it's just comical, right? Sometimes it's just, you're just so wrong. It's not even, so just some background, RJ gets to Vegas. He's got the itch. He wants to bet on something. He's trying to, you know, he hasn't gotten his bearings yet. What's the play? So I'll hold my hand up for this one. I'll raise my hand. Okay. I thought Georgia Tech at home getting 5 against Wake Forest was a good spot. And I think Georgia Tech had like 5 points in the first 14 minutes of the game, something like that.
Yeah, see that I must have just misread the text. I think you meant to say bet Georgia Tech to score 5 points in the first 16 minutes. That's what I think you meant to say. Yeah. Because it was 31-5. It was 31-5 with like 4.5 minutes to go in the half, and I'm out. This is over. They made a cute little run.
Were you watching the whole thing?
I was watching the entire thing because my buddy that I was with, he had bet some. He bet, it had a comma in it. Okay, his number had a comma in it. He bet first half Bowling Green Buffalo. Nobody bets first half Bowling Green Buffalo unless you're a complete degenerate. And it was Bowling Green -7.5, and they were tied with like 2 minutes to go. They go on an 8-0 run to end the half, and he covers. And he's going nuts. Wow. Meanwhile, I'm tearing my ticket up piece by piece over the final like 15 minutes of this basketball game. Tale of two different tickets. That's what it was.
That's right. And you know, we have a rundown every time we do the show, yeah. And you know that our man Zach puts together and does an amazing job. And he's got a question here. You know, will we make a worse bet all season? It's honestly, it's a fair question because it was DOA, right? I mean, yeah. It was just dead on arrival. I mean, Damon, I don't know if you saw the post-game press conference, but Damon Stoudemire, the coach of Georgia Tech, he was asked for an opening statement when he got to the press conference, and he said, got that ass whooped. off the top of my head, I don't know if I'll make a – I mean, I've made some bad ones, right? It's kind of hard to separate, but that was definitely because that's the worst thing, right? When you bet an underdog and you just know in the first 10 minutes of the game you're completely dead,
right? Because in order to pull an upset, I mean, you need to have some things go your way. First of all, is, you know, you can't turn the ball over like they did. You got to make your three pointers, and then the other team can't make their shots, right? You need all those things. Now, a home upset's a little bit different, but for the most part, if you're going to pull the upset, dude, like, you've got to have that team be off, you be on, and then you not help them out. Well, all three went the opposite way for Georgia Tech that night. It was a destruction from the start. And I was, you know, look, I'm glad they gave me drink tickets. I'll just say
wrong
that.
Side.
I'm glad they gave me drink tickets. That's it.
You were on the wrong side on that. We were on the wrong side. But, yes, hopefully they gave you double. You deserve double the amount of drink tickets for that specific bet. All right, let's get to some other results around the country. Earlier in the week, Auburn, which was really looking for a signature win this season. I liked this team, but they had not really had that signature win to date.
Right.
And they got it on Wednesday night, getting revenge on Alabama, number 16 ranked Alabama. I mean, just it was just a destruction. 99-81. Yeah. Janai Broome, 24 points, 7 rebounds, 5 blocks. Obviously, you look around the SEC. You have Tennessee. You have Alabama. But how quickly, RJ, in that discussion, do you think the Auburn Tigers need to be?
Look, they were a team that you had to see them do it, right? They had a pretty poor non-conference strength of schedule. They didn't play anybody at all. You needed to see a win. You needed to see a big win over a good team, and you need to see a good road win. And they're going to have their chance. Yeah. I mean, they're going to have their chances in the SEC to play a number of teams. There's like, 6 teams in the conference in the top 25. They're going to have their chance at the tournament, the SEC tournament. I don't know. I don't. They're probably not in line for a 1 seed. They're probably going to be too far away. I don't think their schedule is going to be good enough in the non-conference to be able to get one unless a couple of teams at the top just completely tank. But, I mean, they're clearly good enough. I mean, Bruce Pearl has shown that he can win everywhere. Mm-hmm. He can win in the mid-major. He can win at two different schools in the SEC. I think winning at Auburn is even more impressive than what he did at Tennessee because, I mean, he's doing this after he was basically banned for a couple of years. And you got to be banned and then convince guys to go to your school still and convince guys that you're not going to, you know, be thrown out of the league in a couple of years. I mean, what he has done, dude, the guy's the truth, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's already taken Auburn to a Final Four, and that's that's not an easy program to do that at. And yeah, I mean, in terms of their seed, I mean, they have a few opportunities left. They have South Carolina at home, which obviously that's going to be a better that's a better game than anybody would have expected coming into the season. Then you have Kentucky at home. Then you're at Tennessee on the 28th, and that's really it. I don't think even if they sweep those three games that they're probably a one. I think that probably is going to leave them still as a two. But Auburn is absolutely a team that I'm interested in backing moving forward. I just think that's a team that's pretty complete.
Look, that Tennessee game on the road, I mean, that might be – for the one seed in the conference. I mean, that might be to win the conference.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah,
I mean,
very well could all be, those teams,
right. Auburn and Tennessee and Alabama and what, South Carolina, they all have two losses in conference. Yep. They're all probably going to lose another conference game. And then it's just going to shake down on head-to-head stuff. And you know, like that game very well could be, you know, for the overall one seed.
Yep. Absolutely. So Auburn is just a team that, you know, depending on situation, and I've said this before, but I think, you know, again, when you talk about the NCAA tournament, that's a team that I think has very, very much a chance to be there when it's all said and done, you know, in the Final Four there in Arizona. All right, a few more things we need to touch on. Kansas, after putting together one of the most complete performances of the season against Houston, they go down in overtime to Kansas State as 5.5-point favorites. I think it sort of illustrates in some ways the peril of Kansas, whereas like when they're at home and you know the old adage, role players play better at home, they're going to be great. They're going to be very difficult to beat. But when you get out of that, when you get out of the home court advantage at Fog, it's like I don't know if they're a team I can really trust, especially if I have to lay a big number. Is that where you are on Kansas, RJ, or do you still like them even with the rivalry loss?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I mean, look, I still like them. I mean, teams are going to lose games. It's tough when you lose home games, but teams are going to lose games. I mean, just look at, and I know they're completely on different opposite ends of the spectrum, but, you know, that was a big win they had, you know, against Houston. We saw Nebraska do the same thing. They had a big win against Wisconsin. They showed up the next week. And they lost a tough – they lost back-to-back games to Northwestern and Illinois. You know, like that's just tough, right? It's right. Like tough to – you get a big win, there's sometimes a letdown, especially when you're a favorite. And sometimes when you get a big win, you want another big game. And I know a rivalry game should be a big game, but you want another game against a team equal to or greater than you to avoid that. They didn't. They got bit. They got bit by a team that was hungry. And, you know, look, you're gonna lose – these are 18-year-old kids. You're going to lose some games. You're going to have freaks.
A little older these days because of the portal and the COVID year. But yes, they're still like most of these guys are tax-paying adults.
They are.
You know,
they are. They're millennials, man. They got millennials playing these games now.
That's right. Born in 91 playing, you know?
I know, right?
So yes, but no, it is part of it. Real quick, I want to run through these before we get to a break here. Carolina lost at home to Clemson after beating Duke. Kentucky finally gets off the mat and pummels Vanderbilt. Wisconsin loses at Michigan as a 5.5-point favorite. And Zach's got the question on here, which one of these was the most notable, noteworthy? RJ, I'm going to say that it was Wisconsin. This is a Wisconsin team that not long ago was in talks to be a one seed. People really took them credibly as a one seed. They killed Michigan State at home, but they've now lost three in a row. And I think it's sort of the same things. It's like, is there enough, you know, is there enough on this team? You know, I felt like watching that Purdue game over the weekend that they just lacked enough shooting. You know, yeah. I think that's sort of the issue. But which one of the games we've talked about, which one felt, whether it's to the positive or the negative, which one felt most noteworthy to you?
You know, the Carolina's a home loss. That's tough. Clemson never beats Carolina, like historically, right? But the Wisconsin one for me, I took Wisconsin in the first half. I took them -3.5 in that game. And they were kind of struggling the entire first half. They struggled the entire game, really. Michigan's a bad team. Michigan should not have done that to them. They can't get out of their own way right now. Michigan couldn't.
Yep.
And in this game, like, Wisconsin was the one that looked like they were in shambles. Wisconsin was the one that looked like they couldn't win Big Ten games. It wasn't Michigan. Michigan looked like a team that had been ranked all year.
Yeah, it was a rude awakening for that Wisconsin team that is certainly out of that discussion now, no question about it. Look, we got a lot more to get to. As always, a packed Saturday slate, which we will touch on this weekend, as we have a very interesting one, Illinois at Michigan State, Auburn, Florida. We have Tennessee, Texas A&M, so we'll get into all of that. And more here on the show. You're watching BetQLU with RJ live from Vegas. John Martin in Memphis.